Today's shiur is Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin at the last words on Daf Mem Vav Mabez, El Amar Rava. Yesterday, we had asked the question trying to explain Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, as we learned in our Mishnah, Lesle Muksa, doesn't hold a Muksa, and therefore he holds that if a candle, once the lamp goes out on Shabbos, you're allowed to move it. The question the Gemara had asked was, why, while the lamp was on, does Rav Shimon hold that you're not allowed to move it? Elam Rava, so Rava says the reason Rav Shimon says you may not move a lamp while it's on, because Hanach Lener Ushimon Psila, leave the issue of a lamp and its oil and its wick aside, Hoyel V'Nas Basel Stavar Elser, because the lamp and the oil and the lamp and the oil and the candelabra all become a basis to the davar asr, become a base to something asr, which is the flame. The flame is a davar asr, and that's why it's asr. Why is the flame asr? Because it touching it involves an isr, the isr of kibbutz. This is the basis for the halacha that a table that we use on Shabbos, that we have our candelabra with the Shabbos candles on, should be considered a basis l'davar asr. So, what do we do that we should be able to move the table, and the table should not be a basis l'isr? We also have a davar mutter on the table, the chalas, or other permitted items. The question the Paiskim ask is, the candelabra that most people use is usually an expensive silver piece. The chalas are not that expensive. So how can we say that something is a basis l'isr of a heter if you have a very expensive candelabra with relatively inexpensive chalas? So the Paiskim say that the measure of basis l'isr of a heter is not based on value. This cost $1,000 and this cost $1, but it's based on need. And since on Shabbos a person needs chalas, just like he needs a candelabra, the fact that one is more expensive than the other is irrelevant. The Shaar Metzion Balocha says a different mahalach. He says that when we look at bosses l'isav heter, we don't look at the candelabra, because the candelabra is not the davar asr. The davar asr is the flame. So we don't have to value the chalas versus the candelabra. We have to value the chalas versus the flame, because that's the davar asr. And when we value those two things, it's obviously not that much of a difference. There are people, in order to avoid the shaila, they're careful that their wives should put a ring or a piece of jewelry on the table when they put on the Shabbos candles and leave it there for the entire Bein HaShemashes. Since the ring is also an expensive item, the jewelry, they therefore create the table to be a basis l'isr of a heter. The other thing I would like to mention is a shaila that the Ingris Moshe speaks about. And his question is, the Gemara here says, Hanach l'ner shem n'psila, that the candelabra and the oil and the wicks are all a basis l'davar asr. What is going to be the halacha, asks Rav Moshe, regarding the tray that you put the leichter on? Will we also consider them? Will the table and tray be considered a basis or not? His question is, since the Gemara mentions hanach l'ner shem n'psila, perhaps only things that are necessary for the candle to exist, for the flame to exist, you need a lamp, you need a wick, they're considered abosses. But things that are not necessary for the flame to exist will not be considered abosses, and therefore maybe the table and tray should not be considered abosses. However, Moshe Paskins that that's not true, and he says that certainly they too are considered abosses. Anything that the lamp is on would be considered abosses, and if the table only had the lamp on it, even if it had a tray under the lamp, all of those items would be considered a basis, the davar asr. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chani, Amar Rav Rumnas. Li hit the Rebbe. Rebbe permitted me latapel machtaba afra, to be able to move a pan with leftover ashes. They used to burn incense. So they used to have a pan which they burnt the incense in. So, and they had ashes left over afterwards. And he says that Rebbe allowed him to move this pan with the ashes on it. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara at this point considers ashes a davar muksa. So therefore, Amalei Rav Zeira or Rav Asi, Mi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachid, Rav Yochanan passing this way, V'sinan, Noitel Adam Espinoi, Vevin B'yodoi. A person may carry his son, his child, even though the child is carrying a stone, which is a davar muksa, as the Gemara will explain later in the Masechta, since if you won't carry the child might get ill, so Chazal let you carry the child even if he's carrying a stone. Or somebody may carry a basket when there's a stone in it. So Rabbi Yochanan Middle said, what kind of basket are we talking about? That we're dealing in a case that the basket, not only having a muksa stone in it, also has fruit. And therefore, mitama, this by pera. Why is Rabbi Yochanan allowing to carry that basket? Because it has fruit, and it's a basis, ledava aser v'mutter. Halas bapera, if it would not have fruit, loy, he would not let us move it, because it's a basis, ledava aser. So now we go back. How are you allowed to carry this pan with the ashes in it? It's a basis, ledava aser. Says the Gemara, Ishtam Kishachada. Rav Asi remained silent for a moment. He didn't have an answer. Vama? So then he answered, Hachanami Dispei Karten. Here we're dealing with a case where this pan has in it leftover granules of unburnt incense, which are therefore not muksa, and therefore the pan is a basis l'issavaheta. Om Rabaya. So Rabaya says, Karten Bei Rebbe Michshivi. Where did this story take place? The story took place in the house of Rebbe. Rebbe, as we know from the Gemara Masechta Ksubos, was a very wealthy man. So are granules of incense significant to Rebbe? So that won't make it a basis l'issavaheter. V'chitem, you'll tell me, chazlaniim, that since the granules are fit for poor people, by them it is chashiv, that's why it's a basis l'issavaheter. Ask the Gemara about Tanya, we learned in a braisa, big day aniyim aniyim. This is a braisa regarding Hilchas Tumah. As we spoke about earlier in this Masechta, and as Tosfos explains here, a piece of material could be makabel Tumas Medris, it could be susceptible to Tumas Medris, but it has to be a significant piece of material. Now, what's significant to a poor person is not necessarily significant to a wealthy person. And therefore, big day aniyim aniyim. Clothing, pieces of material that are fit for poor people, a makabel tumah when they are owned by poor people. Big day lashirim lashirim. And pieces of material owned by rich people, a makabel tumah if they're useful to a wealthy person. Avodaniyim lashirim no. But pieces of material that are significant to poor people won't make a difference to a rich person. So back to our Gemara. Enochanami, these granules may have value to a poor person, but that shouldn't make a difference to Rebbe, who's a wealthy person. So we're back to where we started. Why were they allowed to move this pan? Ela Amra Baya, Midahava Graf Sharei. The reason it was allowed to be moved is just like if you have something which is specifically repugnant, especially repugnant. Graf Sharei is what we would call a patty. So since it's very uncomfortable to sit in a room with such a vessel or such a thing, so even though it's muksa, Chazal gave us a special dispensation and allowed us to move it. Here too, this pan with ashes is a Graf Sharei. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Che Chuvas Bedava. There are two problems with your analogy. Chada Graf Sharei Mos. A Graf Sharei is something which is particularly mius. V'hai, a pan with ashes, it's not something you're going to use, but like Mos, it's not particularly repugnant. V'oid, Graf sharei migli. A graf sharei is something which is open and noticeable, and that's why it's particularly disturbing. And that's why Chazal allowed us to move it out. So hi, but something, this pan, mechsi, it's covered. It has a cover on it, so it's not that bothersome. So we're back to where we started. Why may it be moved? Ella Amar Rava, so therefore Rava said, ki have bei Rav Nachman, we were by Rav Nachman's house, have a metalkninen kanuna kef kitma. We used to move a pan which had in it coals. Rava said that when they needed the ashes that were in this pan, that they needed them for covering dirt, they would move it, even though it also contained broken pieces of wood, which are muksa. So now what we're essentially saying is that ashes are not muksa, because they're used to cover dirt. Again, we would carry the pan that had in it non-muksa ashes. Even when there were broken pieces of wood, which were muksa. So again, when Rebbe permitted Rebbe Rumnus to move this pan with ashes, it was a similar situation where the ashes were not muksa. Meisvei asks the Gemara, Vishavin, the Gemara quotes a brisa that says, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon agree, Shemyesh by Shiver Psila, that if a lamp contains remnants of a wick, Shosl Tatl, you're not allowed to move the lamp because it's a base to the broken wicks which are muksa. Even though it also contains oil, which is presumably more valuable than the wicks. So why is it also to move this base? It should be considered a bosses list of a heter that should be allowed to be moved. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Begli Lashana. This price was taught in the Golo, where the flax, which was used to manufacture wicks, was scarce, and therefore expensive. Therefore the wicks were more valuable than the leftover oil. And as we explained earlier, when the Dover Osir is more valuable than the Dover Hamutter, we give the item a din of a bosses l'issa v'heter. Now, there's a difference how Rashi and Tosfos view this Gemara. Rashi says that the broken wicks made out of flax were more valuable than the oil. Tosfos says that the oil was plentiful, and that's why the wicks did not become bottled, did not become secondary to the oil. So the Shabbos Shlomi explains what's the difference between Rashi and Tosfos' approach, whether if you say that the oil is less chashiv, or if you say that the wicks are more significant. He says the difference will be, what will be when you have two items, a basis dover osur mutter, and they're both equal in value. So Tosfos will hold that only if the dover osur is more significant than the dover hamutter does it get a din of a basis dover osur. But if they're equal, then Tosfos will hold that it's a basis isva heter. The Shabbos Shlomi explains. On the other hand, Rashi will say that the Dover HaMutter has to be more valuable, and if they're not more valuable, then it will have a halacha of a bosses, the Dover Osir, and be Osir to carry. This is a Shaila, many Paiskim, if the two things are equal, what is the halacha? The Aruch HaShulchan Paskins, that if the two items are equal in value, we consider it a bosses, the Osir HaHeter, and it may be moved. Continues the Gemara. Yesterday we spoke about moving a menorah on Shabbos, and we said that it was prohibited from moving a menorah, at least some menorahs, because you may come to put it together, which is also on Shabbos. The Gemara goes back to that type of a discussion about putting together items on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Levi bar Shmuel Ashkechino l'Rav Abba l'Rav Huna bar Chiya. Levi bar Shmuel met Rav Abba and Rav Huna bar Chiya. Tavakai ma'pischa de bei Rav Huna. They were standing at Rav Huna's doorstep. Amlu ma'al lahachsam mita shal tashayim b'Shabbos. What is the halacha regarding resembling this the kapismitz beds on Shabbos? The kapismitz used to travel from city to city, and they used to take along portable beds. And the shaila was, may they be assembled on Shabbos or not? Amalei, so they responded, Shapadami, it's permitted. Oslo kamed Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda, Omar, Rav Yehuda said, Ha Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, Rav Shmuel Bot said, Hamach Samita Shotasayim B'Shabbos, if somebody reassembles this bed, Chayv Chattis, it's Issa Deraisa. Now Rashi explains, what is this Deraisa? Makabe Patish. The definition of Makabe Patish is that any act that completes the formation of a utensil is considered a malacha. So here, when somebody assembles the bed, he completes the construction, and it's makabe patish. Rashi doesn't want to say that it's a malacha of boina, because Rashi, as we explained yesterday, will say that we know from Beis Hillel that there is no binyan bekelim. Utensils don't have an issur binyan. Ramban learns that the issur here will be boina, not makabe patish. He says that this is not enough of a final act to be considered makabe patish. And the Gemara that says ain binyan v'stir b'kalim, either Rav and Shmuel won't agree with that psak, or maybe that psak was limited to Yontif, not to Shabbos. But we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi that the malacha here was makabe patish. Meisvei, so the Gemara asks, and how Rav Abba and Rav Huna and Rav Chi were lenient. It says in a brisa, "Hamachzik kanei menorah b'Shabbos." If somebody puts back a branch of a candelabra on Shabbos, chayv chatas. His chayv chatas. Konus osaidin lo yachzer. He should not reassemble the konus osaidin. Vem hichzer. If he does, potav alaser. He's osam midrabbanan. What is a konus osaidin? It's like a long pole that was made out of sections. We were used for by painters. Depending on how high on the wall, on the ceiling that it reached, they used to take a pole and have sections and either add or subtract sections. So this is not makabe patish, because like Rashi explains, because since they constantly put on sections, took off sections, it wasn't considered a complete maisa, and it's not makabe patish. Rav Simoy says, Kerna gula, if somebody assembles a round horn, Chayiv, he's Chayiv. Kerem Pshuta, but if he assembles a straight horn, he's Potter. A round horn and straight horn are musical wind instruments that had perforated bases into which pipes of varying pitch were inserted. The pipes of a round horn are inserted tightly and must be inserted by a technician. Therefore, somebody who does this is Chayiv for Makabe Patish. However, the pipes of a straight horn are inserted loosely and are made to be inserted and removed constantly. Therefore, doing this is only an issur d'rabbanan. Now, this braisa doesn't work with Rav Abba and Rav Huna and Rav Chiya, because here the braisa says that putting these things together is a d'rabbanan or a d'raisa, and they said it was permissible. Says the Gemara, Rav Abba and Rav Huna bar Chiya inu d'omek ha'haytana. They're going to agree with the following braisa. The Tanya, it says in a braisa, b'lav nois ha'mita, bed sockets. Since the houses in earlier times had dirt floors, the wooden legs of the beds, in order that they shouldn't get ruined from the floor, would be put into sockets. Or karos ha'mita, which are the legs of the bed. V'lav chayim shoskivis, these are the crossbows that are put by an arrow that you put to guide the arrow. Lo yachzer. You should not reattach them on Shabbos. From hichz, if somebody does it, potter, he's potter avalosser. Veloy yitka. Somebody should not nail them in. Vim taka, if he does nail them in, chayv chattis. He'll be over anissa deraisa on makabe patish. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oymer. Im hayu rofui. If the attachment was loosely fitting, it's permitted, as long as it's not nailed in. So now, we have a way of explaining Rav Abba and Rav Huna and Rav Chiya. They are going to hold that since the pieces of the bed that we began this piece of Gemara with were loosely fitting, so, and they'll hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Be Rav Chama have a mita gilu nasa. Rav Hama's home, there was the sectional bed. Have a mahadrele b'yontif, and they would reassemble it on yontif. Amai hu rabbanon l'rava. So one of the rabbanon said to Rava, my datif, what are you thinking? Binyamin atzadhu. That since this is an indirect manner of assembly, so that's why it's mutter. So he asked him, ned isur deraisa leka. Enechanami, there won't be an isur deraisa. However, isur derabbanon yikar, it should be at least osur derabbanon. Amalei, so he expanded, anok rav shimon gamliel sirilei, I hold like rav shimon gamliel, the amram haya rafui mutter, who he says that if it's loosely fitting, it's permitted. And that's taka, the halach lemaisa, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that sections of utensils that you put in loosely may be done, but it's only mutter if this utensil was designed to fit together loosely. You may not reassemble a utensil that is designed to fit together tightly, even if when you do it, you're doing it loosely. And we'll talk halach lemais in a moment. We just have a question that Tosfos asks. In this Gemara, it says that Rav and Shmuel said that if somebody put together the bed, he's chayiv. Now, in the Brice that we just quoted, we had a machloikas to Tanakam Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said it's mutter, as we just said. But even the Tanakam only said it's osma d'rabbanon, not b'daraisa. So how could Rav so who are Rav and Shmuel following when they say that it's osma d'raisa? So Tosfos says that Rav and Shmuel were referring to a bed whose parts were fit together tightly. And they follow the opinion of the previous Braisa that says in such a case, somebody who resembles a bed tightly, he's chayiv midaraisa. Now, why is it contradictory to what Rabbi Abraham of Huna Bechiya said? They spoke in a case where it's fitting loosely. So there's no machlaikis. Rav and Shmuel are talking about fitting tight. Rabbi Abraham of Huna Bechiya talking when it's fitting loose. So the answer Taisha says is that if when you fit it tight, it's a chi of the raisa, then Rav Abba and Rav Huna Rav Chiyah would have not let us do it loosely, because they at least would have said it's osam adrabonim. If we see that they allow us to do it lechatchila without any problem when it's loose, it must be that they held that even when it's tight, it's only a drabonon, not a deraisa. So we just finished learning that if you put something together, at least if you put it together tightly, and it's there's a chiyuv of makabe patish. So the question that the Magen Avraham asks is, how could you ever put a cap, screw a cap back onto a bottle? Isn't it makabe patish? You're screwing it on tight. So the Magen Avraham say that since it's not made to last permanently, it's made to constantly open and close, that's why it's not considered makabe patish. The Chazon Ish asks a question. He says, in our Gemara, how do we begin this sugya? He says, we began this sugya talking about the beds of these coppersmiths that used to go from town to town. Now, these beds were also constantly put together, assembled, and reassembled. Yet, the Gemara is saying that if you put it together tightly, it's awesome. So what's the difference if it's made to constantly open and close? So Chazon Ish has a beautiful explanation. He says, yes, these beds were assembled and reassembled. That's because they chose to do it that way. But what would happen if somebody will assemble such a bed in his bedroom and leave it like that forever? It's no problem. However, if somebody will take a soda bottle and close the top, he can't leave it forever because it's useless to him. He'll never be able to drink or use the contents of the bottle. That's why the cap of a bottle is different than these beds. These beds could remain like that forever. Cap of a product cannot remain like that forever. Another question that's asked based on this Gemara is if a person has to inject himself with a needle on Shabbos, is it permitted to put together the needles? These are the needles that you have to assemble the top, the needle with the syringe. May you screw them together? So of course, if we're dealing with a chayil shesh beis akana that must have this injection, it's certainly mutter. On the other hand, if we're dealing with a chayil shein beis akana and he can't administer the injection without blood coming out, it would be also because you're not allowed to be moitzi dam, you're not allowed to make blood come out on Shabbos. What's going to be the halacha if the person is a chayil shein beis akana, but he could get, and he could get himself injected without any blood coming out? Will be permitted to put together this needle or not? The Minchas Yitzchak discusses the shaila, and he says that based on our Gemara, it would be awesome, because the way it worked is that you screw the needle and the syringe together, and it stays like that, because afterwards you throw it into the garbage, and it stays like that forever, and it would be awesome because of Makabah Patish. Another question, which comes up when learning the Gemara, is the question on watches that have to be wound to continue moving. Is it permitted to wind that watch on Shabbos? So the Chaya Adam says that winding a watch on Shabbos is considered tikkun mana, makabah patish, and it's asur. The Panami Iris says that it's permitted. Since it has to be wound daily, it's considered an act which does not have permanence, and it's comparable to putting the legs on a collapsible bed. And he says it's not considered fitting tight because it's not permanent. The Prima Gaudim wants to say there's a nafka mina if the watch is still running. Such a watch is in a usable state. Winding it is not considered as a complete action and as mutter. When it's not working, the Prima Gaudim doesn't want to, certainly says it's not mutter. And even on a winding watch, he's reluctant to say a full-fledged heter. He says that you should ask a non-Jew or a child to do it. The Chai Adam is machmer even while the watch is running, and he says unless there's a real great need, you should not do it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chaya Adam. However, many paiskim are makel when the watch is running, the Marshag, the Ber Moshe, and the Marsham are all lenient to wind the watch while the watch is moving. And in fact, the Marsham quotes a story that the Belzer Rebbe, that he saw that the Belzer Rebbe on the second night of Rosh Hashanah wound his watch. It was still running, and he wound his watch and was not concerned about the Isser of Tikkun Mana. Continues the Mishnah. Noisn kli tachas haner. Somebody could put a vessel under a lamp, the Kabbalin tzaitzis, to catch the falling sparks. However, for la'ita l'toicha mayim, you're not allowed to put water in that vessel, v'mnei shumachaba, because by doing that, he extinguishes the sparks. Ask the Gemara, v'kamavata kli mechanoi. By doing this, we learned earlier in this parak, on daf membeis, that you're not allowed to take a vessel and put it somewhere will have to remain for the rest of Shabbos. Here, by putting the vessel there, it's going to remain there because the sparks are muksa. Answers the Gemara, Omer Rav Huna B'Reda Yeshua, the tzaitis ein ben mamish. Sparks have no substance. Since the sparks, once they're extinguished, what remains of them is insubstantial, so the kalim that they fall into them will not be considered a basis, and it takes a second for the spark to go out. That's why it's mutter. There's a interesting shaila brought in the Psalm Rosh. The Psalm Rosh speaks about a situation where somebody was sitting by a table, people were sitting by a table, and sparks were flying from the, sparks had flown from the candelabra, and one person put his finger on top of those sparks accidentally to extinguish them. The other person said to him, Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. So another person said to him, why is it a problem of Shabbos? We just learned that mitzvotos ain't by mamish. The mitzvotos aren't considered anything significant. So they all said, this chacham is making a mistake. When we said that tzaitis ain't be mamish, that sparks are nothing, that means they're not considered significant as far as huchas muks are concerned. But certainly, you're not allowed to extinguish them. However, there are other paiskim that said that we learned that when, what's the isser of kibui? What's the isser of extinguishing? Because in the Mishkan, when they extinguished, they made charcoal on tap. Here, this can never become charcoal because it's so insignificant. And maybe there wouldn't be an Issa Kibui. However, our Mishnah is a clear proof that even on the Tzaitzis, there is Kibui. Because the Mishnah says, because he causes it to go out. If you're going to say there's no such a thing as Kibui on sparks, so then why is our Mishnah saying that you haven't worried about doing anything? So it's a proof that there is kibui on sparks, and certainly one should not do anything to extinguish them. It's only in terms of muksa that they're not considered significant. So the Mishnah said, as we just quoted, v'loyitein l'toychoi mayim, somebody should not put water in the vessel, mnei shemechaba, because he extinguishes the sparks. Says the Gemara, lema tanat stamik Rav Yosi. Should we maybe say that we have here a stam Mishnah like Rav Yosi? Dama goyim lekibui, somebody causes extinguishing is also. Because the Mishnah later in Am Masechta on Daf Kuf Chof says that somebody has a fire, unfortunately, in the house. How could he prevent the fire from spreading? He could line up a row of vessels, either empty ones or ones containing water, in the fire's path. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yossi prohibits the use of new earthenware utensils that are filled with water. He says that the heat of the fire may burst these vessels, thereby releasing the water and extinguishing the fire, which will be a gram kibui. So, our Mishnah, where one is putting a container of water under the lamp to catch the falling sparks, is a similar case. He's indirectly extinguishing the sparks in order from them to from causing a fire. So our Mishnah will go like Rabbi Yossi, not like the Rabbanan. And Tosfos asks, it won't even work with Rabbi Yossi really. Because Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chof is only talking in a case where there's a fire. So the question is, what was and wasn't permitted in the situation of a fire? Our Mishnah is not talking where there's a fire. So Taisha says the truth is the Gemara could have asked that question also, but the Gemara asks a different question. Because of Tisbara, do you say that that's the explanation of our Mishnah? Amid Amar Rabbi Yossi, when did Rabbi Yossi say that one may not indirectly cause a fire? B'Shabbos. On Shabbos. B'Erev Shabbos mi Amar. Did he say it regarding Erev Shabbos? And our Mishnah is talking about Erev Shabbos setting up this contraption. But you want to tell me that our Mishnah is talking on Shabbos? V'tanya, we learned in a brisa, nice and clear, tachsanel kabel mitzaitis. You could put a vessel under a lamp to catch the sparks b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, v'tzarech lam v'erev Shabbos, and certainly on Erev Shabbos. However, v'loyitin l'toycha mayim, you may not put water into that vessel. Me'erev Shabbos, even if you do it before Shabbos, ben tzarech lam b'Shabbos, and certainly you're not allowed to do it in Shabbos. So our Mishnah won't even work with Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi was talking about Shabbos, and our Mishnah is talking about Erev Shabbos. So why is our Mishnah being machmer? Ela Omar Ravashi. Ravashi says, afil tam rabbanan. Our Mishnah could even work with the sheet of the rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yossi. Shani Hocha, our Mishnah is different. Because here he could be doing a direct action of extinguishing. And the way that we show him, way Rashi explained it is like this. When you set up a firewall of water-filled vessels, so all you're doing is that you're setting up this wall, and you're only causing the fire to burst the vessels. However, placing water under a lamp can easily involve extinguishing sparks directly, because should any sparks fall as he pours, or should he happen to lift the utensil at the same moment that the sparks are falling, he would be chayiv for doing kibui. That's why Chazal were machmer and did not allow us to have any vessel with water under a lamp, even from Friday, in order that somebody shouldn't do this on Shabbos itself. Now, Tosfos makes a very important observation. Here we're saying that Chazal were machmer and did not allow us to do something from Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos this itself may come to kibui. Yet we learned earlier in our Masechta that certain things may be set off from Erev Shabbos. We set a trap to catch animals. You allow to start making the yoy ink, the samamonim, spices on Erev Shabbos. Why over there don't we make a gzeira that you can't do it Erev Shabbos because you may do it on Shabbos? So Taisa says the difference is as follows. Over there, nobody's going to do an act on Shabbos. Nobody's going to go and set a trap on Shabbos. Nobody's going to go cook on Shabbos, because everybody realizes that it's a melacha d'oraisa. And we're not talking about people that are going to do melacha d'oraisa. However, here, where what's being done could lead to a person making a mistake and doing it on a Shabbos, because he's saying, I'm not really doing kibbuy, I'm just putting out a bowl of water. Therefore, Chazal were machmer and said that we should not even do this from Erev Shabbos, because person could do it, could come to do it directly. In general, what Tosfos is saying, we can't always figure out Gezeiras Chazal. Why Chazal, in certain situations, made a Gezeira, and in certain situations, did not make a Gezeira. Chazal knew when it's relevant or not. The Tzitz Eliezer uses this concept for a Shaila. The Har Tzvi talks about the Shaila. If somebody is allowed to set up that he'll put his pot on an electric oven with a timer, that the electric oven should go on Shabbos. So on Shabbos himself, he didn't do anything. He didn't put the pot on the oven. The pot was there from before Shabbos. The timer goes on by itself. And if you think about it, there should be reasons to say it's asur, based on concepts that we learned in this parak of Shem Yechata or other concepts. But they say, since we don't find that Chazal explicitly said that such an action is asur, we have no right to make a new gzeiris, and perhaps it would be mutter. Tosfos goes on to say that our case is anyway different than Rabbi Yossi's situation, because in our case, the fire and water are a lot more closer and connected to each other than the wall of kalim that have water in them that are totally separated from the fire. One more halacha that Tosfos discusses, and that is, even though we're saying now that you're not allowed to put a thing of water under the candelabra to catch the sparks, Tosfos says that you may put a pan of water, you may, if you're filling up a cup with oil, but you don't want to fill it up with oil altogether, so you just I'm going to put water on the bottom and the oil will go to the top. That's mutter. Why? Because since this person is not intending by doing that to do a kibui, his entire intention is just to lift up the oil. So Taisha says everybody would agree that we're not going to make a gzeira that the person is going to do this on Shabbos also, and that's why it's permitted. Dar Zerua takes this concept of Tosfos even a step further, and he says that anything that's set up from before the candle is burning is mutter. That's why he says that if you would want to put this pan of water next to the candelabra before you light the candle, it's mutter. The isser that our Gemara is discussing is only after the candle was lit and you want to put the bowl of water, and that's where Chazal made this gzeira that we're concerned what that you may lift it or you may take the water directly to the candle that's burning. But if you do it before the candle is burning, then you may set up a bowl of water next to the candle. Other Paiskim also say that the reason you're allowed to put the water on top to, under the oil, it's because your kavana is not that the fire should go out. Your kavana is just that the oil should burn nicer when the candle is up, when the candle is higher. And since that's your entire purpose, it has no connection to kibbuy, and that's why it's mutter. Hadron loch kira, hadron loch kira, hadron loch kira.